Good afternoon, everyone. It is 2 o'clock p.m. on Thursday, March 21st, 2024. I would like to call the Ponce Inlet Town Council to order. I would ask that everyone please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let the record show that all council members are present in council chambers. And to begin, I do wish to comment again on the time of our meeting. This earlier meeting is the second of four regularly scheduled meetings at 2 o'clock rather than 6 o'clock on a trial basis, and we will have the opportunity of assessing this change at a future time. Please all remember to complete the citizen participation request form in the event you wish to speak and provide it to our town clerk. That Ms. Trevano is seated in the front here and the pink slips are on her table. So we will now begin with item four, additions, corrections, or deletions to the agenda. Are there any?
None from staff.
Any from council?
None.
Okay. Seeing none, I move to adopt the agenda as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the agenda is adopted as presented. We are now up to item five, which is citizen participation. As a reminder, this is a new place on our agenda at the beginning of our meeting for people to have the opportunity to come to the podium for up to 5 minutes and speak to us on an item that is not on the agenda. Please make sure to speak into the mic and provide us with your first and last name and your street address. The first individual I have is Craig Sandman. Oh, hello, Mr. Sandman. Would you please come up? Thank you.
Good afternoon. Craig Sandman, 37 Ocean Way Drive. I'd like to talk about the parking and the traffic and what's going on in Atlantic and Ocean Way. If anybody lives down that way, they're probably aware of the traffic that happens. It's not all the time, but on weekends, we have a great deal of traffic down that way. I took some photographs, not in time for everybody to see it, but I sent it out, and hopefully it'll get around, and I'll be happy to send it to everybody. This past Sunday, I had traffic. It backed up to Beach Street. It's hard to get into Ocean Way. Ocean Way, if you make the turn from Atlantic, it's more than a 90-degree turn. It's about a 110-degree turn. If somebody parks on that turn, you don't see what's going on until you move over into the lane that's oncoming. There are no paint stripes. There's no yellow line, double yellow line, single stripe line, there's nothing going there. So when you make the turn, you're stuck. If you back up, the next one is Caribbean, I believe is the street before. People come down, they see if it's blocked or if there's a lot of traffic going into the park. What they do is they start making U-turns, start turning around and block up more lanes, more streets trying to make the U-turn and come back around. So by doing that, they're blocking up more lanes, more traffic. Everybody's trying to go one way or another. And everybody's trying to get into the park, and they have a right to get into the park. What I see is the park is in, the gate is in the wrong place. They do have three people there on Sundays trying to get the traffic through, but people are trying to get around. So I was at the corner there for about 10 minutes the other day on Sunday watching it. And if people can't get into the park, they now have to make a right turn onto Ocean Way. And I counted 25 cars in 30 minutes going down that street. And they are racing down the street, racing maybe 30, 40 miles an hour, trying to get down to the corner, make a left onto Peninsula to come back around on Lighthouse Road to think that they can get into the park quicker. No, they can't. Then they get frustrated. But on Ocean Way itself, you cannot get onto Atlantic because the people block the way. Some people do, some people don't. So now you're stuck trying to get into Ocean Way or trying to get out of Ocean Way. Maybe we need a crosswalk. Maybe we need a stop sign. Maybe we need something so we can get out. But we need to also stop people from parking right as they make the turn onto Ocean Way from Atlantic because everybody gets gelled up there. So something needs to be done. I don't know who is in charge of that. I spoke to, at the last meeting, the person, Reinhardt, I believe his name is.
Yes, Councilman Reinhardt.
Councilman Reinhardt. He has not gotten back to me yet. Hopefully he will, about somehow getting this taken care of. But we're talking about having a boatel, talking about a marina down there, the Pacetti, and having parking down there, and having parking at the Marine Science Center. So something, hopefully somebody's looking after this, to how are we going to achieve some sort of a flow down there? Because as we know, I don't know how many people were at the park this last weekend. I'd love to know how many people came into the park, because many more didn't come in and turned around and left. Somehow we've got to, for safety, have some sort of flow in there, get people moving around, and how to achieve this. I am not the expert. I'm just the one watching these people, confused people. And they all have a right to get into the park if they can, and somehow we need to take care of this. And that's all I have to say.
Well, I thank you, and I will tell you this, is number one, I'm going to follow up behind you with Councilman Reinhardt to see what, if anything, has been done, what he can share with me to share with you. That's the first thing. The second thing is, during my comments at the end of the meeting today, is I do intend on speaking about parking and hopefully addressing more of a global issue briefly. And you know Atlantic is the county, and you know your street is ours. So if it's something that we may need to sit down and speak with our police chief about, we will do that as well. But no, it's not falling on deaf ears.
Okay, and the other thing is the police are spread around doing things, and they're doing great. I mean, I see them come by, but there's nothing not legal about what these people are doing. We just need to somehow take care of that issue so that the traffic moves. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Jer Kessler.
Jer Kessler, 81 Bushman Drive. Good afternoon. At the community town hall on February 29th, the vice president of the community center board, unbeknownst to Nicole Peterson Carr and myself, announced that they had submitted an application to the town to host the Ponce Inlet Farmers Market. In early February, North Turn had offered to host the market, and we had even started paperwork for that location, as our goal was to start the market on April 7th, first Sunday of the month. But when the community center offered its location, we both were very enthusiastic about the idea of it being the location. What could be a more natural location than a community center for a community market? After this meeting, we requested several times in writing to meet with the executive board of the community center to go over market logistics. After all, it was Nicole and I who had raised funds for the required permits to open the market and who oversaw its operations for the past 18 months. Not only was the request ignored, but after several requests, we received on March 10th a copy of a letter to Darren Lear saying, after extensive discussions between members of our Board of Trustees and a formal vote, we have decided that we are not in a position to host the farmers market. Although we believe that it is a good activity for the town, there were too many conflicts which proved insurmountable for us to host the activity. Can you imagine our shock that the community center had made such a decision without ever meeting with us to discuss these conflicts, particularly for me, who has never had any experience before with setting up anything at the community center, that we learned this decision by copy to the Ponce Inlet Planning and Development Director. Madam Mayor, I am bringing this up for two reasons. One, we are now planning another location for the market, and we feel that given the lost time because of the community's plan to host the market and then rescinded, we should not have to pay any late fees. Two, in all our correspondence with the community center, you, Madam Mayor, Mike Disher, and Darren Lear were copied. I believe the town could have encouraged a meeting with all parties, as it should be in the town's interest that this market exists. I am personally very upset with the way our market was handled by the community center. I reiterate, as I said at the community town hall, that I believe the town itself should engage with our market. It is not uncommon for a town to host a farmer's market, as it brings community together and supports local businesses. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Cameron.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm Jim Cameron, Daytona Beach, and I came here today because I used to work with Daytona Regional Chamber, and actually I worked with some of your predecessors, I mean, going back to like Frank Bruno and Mayor Dorothy Huckel back in those days and such, and always enjoyed, but I come to local governments from time to time and give like an update report on government relations, because that's what I used to do chamber-wise, though. But just want to start out, as you know, legislature, they adjourned about 2 weeks ago, and they approved a $117 billion budget, slightly less than the current budget that we're in right now. But they're putting in about over $700 million for what's called the Live Healthy Act to try and get more doctors, nurses, and healthcare professionals here to the state of Florida. And they're also adding $500 million to help pay down state debt. But then education funding increased $1.8 billion, and they're also putting in $1.2 billion for additional money for teacher salaries. Now, that budget goes to the governor, and he's got 7 to 15 days to sign it, and I've been trying to look in the news and all. I don't know if he's got it yet, but he's got that time frame, though. But he can either veto it or, like say, let it go. But then he's still got that what's called line item veto, where he can, veto individual projects, though, from different legislators. So we're hoping that we're going to get projects that we need here in Volusia County. And there's some property insurance bills, though, included in there. One in particular I wanted to mention was the what's called My Safe Home Program, which allows homeowners to fortify their homes to upgrade it for hurricane protection, like storm doors and windows and new roofs and all. They apply up to $10,000 for grants. And they can also now, this is a new program, for condo associations. So you may want to check into that for condo associations. They didn't have access to that before, but they do now. But as you know, the governor, he signed a bill to prohibit public camping and sleeping anywhere in public places and all. The point is that now citizens or business owners, they can sue local governments if they do not adhere to that ban. That said, it does allow for local governments to set up a campsite for homeless individuals if their homeless shelter is at capacity. But I wanted to also take that to say thank you, Bill, and for the rest of y'all's participation with First Step Shelter out here on US 92, because, again, that is a good program for y'all to be involved with, so we thank you for that. But also wanted to mention SunRail. The county the other day heard a report from FDOT. FDOT has been carrying the bills for SunRail all these years. Next fiscal year, they're going to transfer that to Central Florida Commuter Rail Commission, which is City of Orlando, counties of Osceola, Orange, Seminole, and Volusia. $63 million annually, of which Volusia is probably going to be about $7 million. That said, They've already been talking about that for the last couple of budget workshops and stuff for a year now to make sure that they got that $7 million or more so in the bank. But you'll be hearing more about that. But also on trains, just to the south of us, Brevard County, they are talking with the city of Cocoa and Brightline. Brightline is looking at putting a train station in Cocoa. And so they're meeting down there with their Brevard County TPO, the city and the county and community leaders and all. They're making plans for that, and Cocoa's putting in $5 million. I'm saying we need to start in this county looking at now getting a train station for Volusia, because it's eventually going to go up to Jacksonville. It's going to go up to Jacksonville somehow along 985. We need a stop here in Volusia. But those are just a few of the things I just wanted to update y'all on, though. So be looking for my what's called Volusia Matters podcast that comes out every week, and my Volusia Matters newsletter comes out first week of every month. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jim. Thank you for coming. We appreciate it. Uh-huh. And we have Charles Burge.
Good afternoon, Council. Charles Burge, 4670 Links Village Drive, Unit B702. I'm here to talk about public safety, which is things I've talked about in the past. I don't know if you received it or not, but I think you probably did. I sent a public safety announcement or informational literature from FDNY concerning e-bikes and e-cars. Did you guys receive it?
We received it, and I believe it was placed on our Facebook page.
Okay. Great. That's what I wanted to see, because the police department has been doing a fantastic job informing people about safety. Now we're having a women's class for self-defense. There's a lot of information out there as far as EVs and bicycles. Mostly the bikes now are causing when they put new batteries in, if they use aftermarket parts, and people are charging them with extension cords. So, which says right there in that memo, do not use an extension cord. Then the New York City housing, and we've been over this before, and the law says that you can have these cars and stuff, but the housing authority is making multi-dwelling buildings post this stuff in their lobbies. So I was wondering if that's something that we could do at a local level to advise the homeowners associations of the dangers of these type of things that everybody has in their homes. And so I don't know if you reviewed that also, but that's what they're starting to do so that people remain safe. Our residents, our homeowners, our tourists, our first responders. It would be nice if not only on the Facebook page, because I don't do Facebook, some people do, don't. It would be good if it was sent out in an email form too, and it would be great if we could pass some kind of ordinance that would make multi-high-density dwelling buildings start to post stuff so everybody could be on the same page with an awareness campaign. That's point one. Point two, I was just at another meeting, and the big topic is fiber optics. And a statement was made by the president that the police department and the fire department are now thinking about spending money on upgrading their system to fiber optics. And the term was, and the amount was over $100,000 at each place. So my question, I guess, to you, Mayor, is that something that's been going on and talked about? Because they're sending out information. If it's not, then it's not the correct information.
I'm not prepared to respond to that. I do not know the answer to your question. I'm not sure if Mr. Disher does, but if not, we could certainly check.
I know it's been discussed, but I mean, that's really all it is, just discussions.
Well, the way they made it sound is it's been stamped and it's going to happen.
Who is they?
Who's they? The CSA, Homeowners Association of Harbor Village.
Okay.
You know who they are.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Burge. Is there anyone else that wishes to make a public comment? I don't have any more. And if there is no one, then I'm going to close citizen participation. Okay, we are up to item six, proclamations and presentations. We do have this month a proclamation that has been presented to recognize April as Water Conservation Month, and copies of the proclamation may be viewed at the Town Hall kiosk. And then for our presentation today, we have a representative here from the Florida City and County Management Association, Chris Edwards. Mr. Edwards, it's very nice to have you here. You are presenting as part of the Communications Committee, and you are also the Director of CRA Economic Development in New Smyrna Beach. It's good to see you. Thank you so much for coming.
Greetings, Madam Mayor and Council members. It is my distinct honor to be here today as a neighboring municipality with the City of New Smyrna Beach. I'm the Director of CRA and Economic Development, but I'm also a member of the Florida City County Management Association. And we have a recognition of various different municipalities around the state for their years as council, commission, manager form of government. And so we're very pleased today on behalf of President Michael Grabos, from the Assistant City Manager of DeLand, and all of the members that make up Florida City County Management Association, to the town of Ponce Inlet. For 30 years of town council manager form of government, this is also in operation under the International City County Management Association, so it's my distinctive honor to present a recognition to you today. So,
thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So without further ado, I guess we can take a photo.
Everybody.
Yes.
Yeah, that would be nice. And Mike, yeah?
Yes, and then you all have him stand right here.
Perfect.
And then that way, because he's a tall gentleman.
He is. Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it'll work out fine. I'll make sure I get everybody. We'll make sure we get Mike. Mike, can you go over here between the mayor and the next one?
Thank you. Thank you so very much. It's always nice having a guest from a neighboring city. Thank you for coming here. Okay, now we are up to our consent agenda. There are three items on the consent agenda. Does anyone wish to pull an item? Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to pull an item? Seeing none, I move to approve the consent agenda as presented. Second. We have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Item 8A, it is task assignment for Mead and Hunt. Mike, would you introduce the topic for us, please?
Sure. Yeah, this topic is a task assignment for Mead and Hunt to manage the loan application for the town for the septic to sewer project. We've been notified recently by DEP that we are eligible to receive $10.4 million. Through them, it's called a 100% principal forgiveness loan, and it's essentially a grant run through a loan program. So through that program, the town is able to receive money for the construction of the sewer project. This is the project that's already been designed, but we have had no money until recently to build it. So we, Mead and Hunt, they're the ones that applied for this loan or slash grant on our behalf, and they're here to present the details of this arrangement here. We have Kim McCall, our finance director, who was instrumental in also helping get this done, and Cheryl Parsons with Mead Hunt, and then Casey Sissel, also with Mead Hunt. So I'll bring Kim up now.
Thank you so much, Mike.
Good afternoon. Cheryl Parsons is currently a regional funding practice leader at Mead and Hunt and brings extensive funding knowledge and experience creating finance plans for water and wastewater treatment facilities. She has 29 years of experience with U.S. Environmental Protection Agency as a senior state revolving fund SRF project manager, where she managed $20 billion in funding. During the last 18 months at Mead and Hunt, she has acquired over $245 million in funding, with over $57 million in SRF funding and $188 million in grants. Cheryl has co-led national teams in the development of funding guidance documents and the review of SRF programs. She has a history of providing financing alternatives and innovative solutions for complex infrastructure projects and is an invaluable resource in identifying projects for funding, such as our septic to sewer project. Without Cheryl and Mead and Hunt's services and expertise, we would not have received this funding opportunity.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Council, Mike. Let me talk to you a little bit about this funding. This is a very special funding that we received, and once I saw it, I do have to tell you, because we have projects, I said, oh, we've got to do these. Can't hear me? Oops. As loud as I am, I would have thought you could have heard me. No. Excuse me while we have a technical issue. It's just not good. There we go. So, here's a little bit of history. So what Congress did was they made a special appropriation for hurricanes Fiona and Ian. Only two SRFs, because one of them in the state, were eligible for that money, the state of Florida and Puerto Rico. So we actually got $1.1 billion. That was the total. And then they split it up between drinking water and clean water. Clean water is what we would call wastewater, so that's clean water. Now, it's used for wastewater treatment, drinking water treatment, anything that was impacted by either Fiona or Ian. So on November the 20th, DEP announced that they would have funds available, and you could apply through January the 1st of 2024. So you can see that that's why I went ahead and applied for y'all. The window was very, very narrow. When you look at it, I mean, it's about 5 weeks, not counting Christmas and Thanksgiving, which were both in there. They had a lot of money available, $317 million for clean water, and $171 for drinking water. So we now I'm speaking of we as the city, this is the town of Ponsinlet. I looked at that and I was like, we can get all this. We can get both phases of the septic to sewer. I know we can. So we applied for $10.4 million. And on February the 14th, which was a lovely Valentine's Day present, we were awarded. Now I will say that Mike and I and Kim, we did do some, we did a little bit of lifting because at first they didn't want to say septic to sewer was covered. And I was like, oh, EPA, yes, it is. But I'd been there for 30 years, so it made it easy. Now, what is really important here and the reason we're here today is the loan application has to absolutely, positively, has to be in by August the 12th. It's another drop-dead date. If we don't have our application into DEP, then they take the money away. There's no extensions on this one. Usually you can get an extension if you have a regular loan, but for this, there's not. So the reason I'm here is I really have to get moving on this because it's important. Now, here, you've seen this before, I know, in other council meetings, but here are all the service areas that will be included. Thank you, Casey, for such a lovely picture. You know, Lighthouse Shores, Bay Harbor Drive, Jennifer Circle, you can see them. I won't read them all to you. And this is what we do. First, we go ahead and prepare the loan application. Now, 100% principal forgiveness. That's right. You don't pay anything. You don't even pay a closing fee on this loan. It is for planning, design, and construction. Usually that wouldn't mean anything, you know, but that means I can put the loan in without having a facility plan ready, or the design is ready, so all we have to do is have a facility plan. But we can expedite that movement. That's what that means. I can get the money, and we'll be holding it so that as things come, we can pay. We have to, of course, have the facility plan approved, then you have the design approved, and then bid for construction. And we submit those documents, and they approve the procurement. Don't worry, your procurement is always good. And then construction begins. It's a pretty, once we meet that August the 12th deadline, it's a pretty easy thing. That was as short as I could make it. Do y'all have any questions?
I think that, well, no, I was just going to start. I'll wait for all the questions, but how grateful we are. Let me start by saying that. How grateful we are to be in a position to receive those kind of funds for this kind of project. We thank you so much and Mead and Hunt over all the years for really taking very good care of the town and our needs. So I thank you for that, and I will open it up to questions of our council. Skip, did you want to start?
I only have a couple. First, you can always say we when you bring us $10 million, trust
okay.
me. That's awesome. The question I have, and again, pretty sure I understand it, but I want to make sure I clearly understand it. So we're looking at, I'll say, upfront of $100,000, basically. And the upfront, what I'm saying is, because if you look on here, and
yes.
for me to understand, it's $100,000, but we're submitting to Port Orange to kick in 72%, and we're at 28%.
Yes.
I mean, that's a no-brainer. I mean, and the reason I'm bringing it up, to make sure I clearly understand it, and I don't see any reason why Port Orange would not want to agree with this also. Does anyone?
That's correct. Yeah, we've approached Port Orange staff, and the staff seems amenable to it. I mean, this project is a gift to them. I mean, it helps our residents. But beyond that, I mean, we're essentially doing all the legwork to expand their sewer, and,
exactly.
and they get all the revenue okay. in perpetuity.
And we're going to meet with them later this afternoon.
Good. Okay. Well, be sure and tell them how much money you raised, would you?
But
and I wanted the residents to hear that part of it, too, to make sure they understand that, you know, basically we're only putting up $28,000 for a $10 million project. I'll take that all day long. The other question I had, and, you know, we have to submit all the information by August the 12th. That's doable, correct? I mean, is there anything the council besides today can do to help? I know the staff's behind it. I know you guys are doing it. Kim, your team is on it.
I
get excited when I see this kind of money coming our way to help a project.
All I need is your authorization, because I have to tell you, well, Mike knows, Kim knows. I've been like this going, oh, please hurry and sign the order so I can get to work. Because this one, and I will admit it to y'all, this particular project, I've always been a plan and pipe girl, and I'm a firm believer in going septic to sewer, especially when it can endanger the groundwater, it can endanger people's health if it backs up. I'm big on this. And from the beginning, I was like, oh, we got to get the money. As soon as this project came up in my queue, I was like, no, we've got to do this one. I called Mike. I was like, we're going to do whatever it takes
right.
to get you some money.
And, Mayor, I mean, my closing comment is I see no downside of this at all. Thank you.
Thank you. Jeff?
Yes, I just want to say what a deal. So because Port Orange owns the system, they do all the bidding, they do all of the paperwork, we reap the benefit, essentially.
Well, we would actually be doing the bidding. We would be running the project.
Well, what I'm reading here is Phase 5 bidding assistance. It appears as though it's saying that the owner of the system does the bidding. I may have misconstrued it, but... It's still a deal.
You're technically the owner of the system until we're done with the project.
Well, correct. Yeah, it's the town is running the construction, then it gets turned over to Port Orange when mm-hmm. it's finished.
All right.
Okay.
I'm good.
Thank you. Bill?
I don't have any questions. We've been working with septic to sewer for I don't know how many years in Ponce Inlet. I remember when we did the first booklet years and years and years ago. I think you were with us still then. So to this point, I know what these guys are new to the game, but we've been doing this for years, and God bless you for finally getting there.
Thank you, Bill. Gary.
No, basically what we're getting is help with a program that we've had in place for years and want to get it to that point. And there's more issues than just getting the sewer line in there, because you're talking about the street that you tear up, you get a new street out of it, you get all kinds of other perks that increases the neighborhood, even though Port Orange gets the benefit for all the income and own it after it's finished. But it's something we started, and by gosh, I hope we get to finish it one of these days.
Thank you, Gary. Does any member of the public wish to ask any questions or say anything? Yes. Mr. Bullard?
Oh, Robert.
Robert Bullard, 4802 South Peninsula Drive, Ponce Inlet. I'm glad we got a lady with a Midas touch working for us. That's very encouraging. We got 3% of the entire take of the state of Florida, and we're not really hurting for money around here. We're not filthy rich either. I'm just amazed at the grand scheme of economic reality. We have such political pull to make this happen. I looked through the documents related to this, and it looked like the same stuff I looked at a year or two ago. Kim McCall's use of the term complex is an understatement of what we're up against here. I mean, we need to have a major internet link to this project in the town's website with all the plans, all the specifications, and all the, we've got, I don't know how many item entries for force main and one lift station. I don't know how that works out, but all this stuff needs to be accumulated. It's going to dump a lot of extra work on Public Works and on Randy and really the entire town staff. But if I'm living down somewhere and I've got a new house on a septic system and I'm ready to put in my swimming pool and the street's all torn up, how am I going to do it? We need to be able to be sure every property owner in this town, not only the ones who are getting sewer, are going to be able to get all the information they need about timing, conditions, the public safety needs to know it. The whole thing needs to take advantage of the internet, superhighway of information and two-way communication on this project. The best way, in my opinion, to do this is to start now and just take whatever all the crap is we have, the plans and everything else, set up a dummy website connection, web link for that, and let people start looking at it and asking questions and gradually build on it. But it's going to take a lot of unfunded resources in this town to pull this off. A lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of technology. But it's really important because this is a complex project. Mm-hmm. And 5 years from now, I hope everybody that's here realizes we did the right thing by getting this going right now. Thank you.
Robert, thank you very much. Charles?
Charles Burge, 4670 Links Village Drive, unit B702. Very simple. We're getting $10 million, but what is the projected cost of the project? Is the $10 million going to cover 50%, 80%, 100%?
It's supposed to cover the entire cost.
Over the next 5 years?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Any other questions? All right. If there are no other questions of council, I'll make the motion. I move to approve the task assignment for Mead and Hunt as set forth in Exhibit 2 of Item 8A of the March 21, 2024 agenda, subject to the approval of an interlocal agreement between the Town of Ponce Inlet and City of Port Orange as to the cost share proposal of 72% Port Orange and 28% Ponce Inlet for Mead and Hunt's project management proposal of $99,349 as outlined in Exhibit 3 of Item 8A of the March 21, 2024 agenda.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Mayor Peritsky?
Yes.
Councilmember Milano?
Yes.
Councilmember White?
Yes.
Councilmember Villanella?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Smith?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you. Thank you so much, and we will do our job now of moving forward to get the agreement, hopefully, and I thank you so much for your time.
Yep, and that agreement, it's ready in draft form, but of course that needs to be worked out with Port Orange staff, but our goal is to get that to you in April, and at the latest it'd be at the May meeting.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much for being on top of that, Mike. I appreciate that. And now we are up to 8B, request for approval for the Riverside Conservancy Living Shorelines Project within Ponce Preserves. Mike?
All right. Yeah, Darren is going to introduce this item.
Good afternoon, Council. So on December 18, 2023, Riverside Conservancy Director Kelly McGee provided a presentation to this council regarding a recently completed shoreline restoration project within the town. Following that, there was another project proposed which at no cost to the town. The Conservancy will place approximately 1,000 linear feet of living shoreline or oyster reef enhancement within Ponce Preserve on the west side of Peninsula Drive. These enhancements consist of 1-foot by 1-foot modules that foster the growth of oysters and would be placed along the existing kayak trail. This project helps achieve some of our goals, objectives, and policies in our comprehensive plan, specifically goal 1 of the coastal management element, which is to conserve, protect, and restore coastal natural resources, and also policy 1.1.4D, of your future land use element, which in part states, the town recognizes that sea level rise will impact an increasing number of properties over time. In order to minimize these impacts on the town, on advice of the community's desire, we'll encourage the implementation of low impact development strategies, such as living shorelines and dune restoration. And we have Kelly right here, if you have any questions of her.
Thank you so much. Oh, please come up. We want to thank you so very much for coming here the last time and for sharing all of the information, and this seems very, very exciting. I'll see if our council has any questions of you with the project. This is like thank you. I just want to find out, because you did provide a letter to us that would indemnify us and hold us harmless, and you also had indicated that you would add the town as an additional insured party to your liability insurance. Is that still acceptable?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, and Cliff, if I understand correctly, and maybe share with us what we need to do next for purposes of if we were to approve this. I know I haven't opened it to the public yet, but I wanted to hear this first.
You would approve it subject to your execution and their acceptance of the indemnity and hold harmless agreement that they've offered, along with the condition of being named as an additional insured, and that way the record reflect that this was a quid pro quo. They got something in return for giving something back, because that's the one thing that's not reflected in the agreement itself.
Okay. I thank you for that, Cliff. Okay. So does anyone in the audience have any questions about this project, what we're going to do? This is very, very exciting with our goal towards resiliency. And you remember we did a vulnerability assessment a number of years ago, and things of this nature just work us towards a resilient Ponce Inlet. So I thank you very, very much. Would anyone like to try the motion? You want me to do the motion?
Make a motion.
You'll make a motion. Go ahead.
To approve the Riverside Conservancy Living Shorelines project within Ponce Preserve at zero cost to the city of Ponce Village.
Second.
Well, wait, I think...
Subject to the indemnity agreement and hold harmless, which will be signed by either the mayor or Mr. Disher after, as indicating that the project is contingent on that agreement.
The legalese sounds real good to me.
Okay. That's the way you do it.
There you go. Okay, so we have a motion.
Second.
And a second. Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Thank you for coming, and we're very excited to get this started. So thank you, and thank you, Darren.
Thank you.
And Mayor, I did have one question for Kelly. Kelly, are you accepting volunteers?
Absolutely.
Okay, and how should they contact you if someone wants to volunteer?
They could send me an email directly, Kelly, K-E-L-L-I, at riversideconservancy.org. And what we'll do is, as soon as we receive the permits, really we're anticipating exemptions from the state and the Army Corps, then we'll schedule the days of deployment, and we'll share that with you well in advance, and we'll put up on our website opportunities.
Okay, great. Well, and then we'll post that as well.
That's great. Thank you. We're very excited about this project.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Okay, we are now up to item 8C, which is the approval of a continuing services contract with Raftellis Financial Consultants. Mike?
Yeah, Chief Scales will introduce this one.
Oh, Chief. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor, members of Council. What you have before you is a request from staff to approve a continuing services contract with Raftellis Financial. You may be familiar with them. We actually used this firm when we did our water rate revenue sufficiency study recently. Yes. They're a great firm. They have a lot of local experience, Port Orange, New Smyrna, Edgewater. Staff is fantastic to work with, and they're familiar with the town structure, and you know how we do business here. One of the things that we're looking at doing with after this, hopefully when this agreement is approved, is working with them on a stormwater utility system, study fee for our stormwater utility services. So it's pretty straightforward. The cooperative purchase agreement is here along with Martin County's agreement and the bid package. So if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Thank you very much, Chief. Does anyone have any questions?
One quick one.
Yeah, sure.
The cost structure that we're currently paying, does it mirror what we're approving now? And again, I went through the packet, believe it or not, and you know, to the back, the last page, Exhibit B, shows, I guess it's the Martin County pay scale. Is that exactly what we'll be receiving also, and is that any different what we're currently paying?
No, it's the same, and the original contract had expired. The document we had expired, but we've confirmed Martin County, it's still in effect, still enforced. And the structure is the same. Yes.
Okay. Good.
Bill?
Nothing.
Nothing. Gary?
No,
nothing. Is any member of the audience wish to ask any questions of the chief or of the council relating to this item? Okay. Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
A motion as suggested by the staff recommending approval.
Okay. We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion and a second, approving this contract. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes unanimously. Okay. Okay. There are no public hearings, quasi or non-quasi judicial matters. We're up to 11A, Ordinance 2024-01, first reading. Cliff, would you read it by title only, please?
Yes, Mayor. Ordinance 2024-01, read by title only, an ordinance of the Town of Ponce Inlet, Florida, amending Chapter 18 of the Ponce Inlet Code of Ordinances relating to posting of address numbers for properties adjacent to the Atlantic Ocean, amending Section 18.4, posting of addresses of Chapter 18 buildings and building regulations, requiring the posting of address numbers on beachfront properties that are visible from the adjacent beach, providing for enforcement, providing for codification, providing for severability, providing for conflicts, and providing for an effective date.
Thank you very much. Mike?
Yeah, Darren will present this one.
Again, good afternoon. On December 5th, 2023, Volusia County Council adopted Ordinance Number 2023-46 with the goal of having the addresses of beachfront homes, businesses, and condominiums visible to beach goers so that they convey their location to emergency responders. Then on December 18th, our Town Council adopted Ordinance 2023-06, which contained many of the same provisions regarding beach addressing. However, our ordinance also included requirements for multifamily and commercial property owners to provide the street name also. And to be honest, that proved problematic to a lot of people,
yes,
a lot of property owners. So what this amendment does is removes the requirement for the street name, and which your previous deadline was April 16th, 2024. So the new deadline is going to be 60 days from the second reading of this ordinance, approval of second reading.
Thank you so much. And, you know, I'm most appreciative because it did prove quite problematic, and we certainly heard about it. Does anyone have any questions of Darren?
Go ahead, Bill.
Just one statement, Darren. When the legislative session started, I was asking Mike continually about, can I abbreviate South Atlantic Avenue to SATLAV? And based on our ordinance, we were turned down. And then in the newspaper, Mike and I were just joking about it before the meeting. Our legislature decided to name it, if passed, A1A from Key West all the way to the Georgia-Florida state line, the Jimmy Buffett Memorial Parkway. Now, I'm worrying about trying to get South Atlantic Avenue on it. So I call up Mike and I say, Mike, and Mike said, Bill, remember, all of the ordinances submitted by our legislators, only 5% pass. Guess which one passed? The Jimmy Buffett Memorial Highway. I know he's a great singer, or was, but I'm thinking how? And then Skip and a few other people, I've actually put numbers up. You walk it, you can see South Atlantic Avenue up in some locations. You go right by Jerry's, there's three that have just numbers up, and I'm thinking, please, please. Mm-hmm. So I am thrilled that this is absolutely happening. Thank you for listening to the people along the beachside.
Thank you.
Thank you. Gary? Nothing. Anyone from the public
wish
to...
Mayor, I do have one. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was letting Bill go first for a change. I was letting Bill go first.
Go.
Okay. Yeah. Just a clarification, and I thought Bill would bring this up. But, like, again, to make sure we have clarification, and this is something I've tried to explain, but I want to make sure I'm explaining it correctly. Bill Milano in the townhomes. So does this ordinance state that, I don't know how many townhomes, Bill, you have there? Eight. Does that mean Bill has to put up eight signs in the dune, or would one suffice?
No, it's just going to be the, I believe it's going to be for the address for the
Wherever the HOA is based.
Yeah, the association.
Okay, so I'll give you an example. Ours is townhomes also. So I'm the president of our HOA. We already have our number up. So the other three that are beside us that are townhomes, do they have to put up numbers or do they not?
If they're not built yet. You're saying if and when they get built?
They're already built. I'm talking about where our home is right now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The three to the north of us. And again, the only attachment we have is the small decorative roof line where bills are attached. So that's where it kind of gets.
Yeah, I mean,
sticky.
It comes down to emergency response, what they need. You know, I mean, those units where you are so close together, and it was the same situation. We asked Chief Scales, you know, and it's really just where the HOA is. I mean, that just gives them a point to get to.
Okay, good. That answers, that clarifies that. So,
good.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else, Joe? No? Okay, anyone from the public? I think I saw Doris. Yeah, please come up.
Doris Hines, 4621 South Atlantic Avenue. When I read the letter from the town, I believe there were different size requirements for the address. The multi was a foot high, and private residences. I don't remember if there was something specific, but I've seen small numbers on people's walkovers, which if the person that needs assistance is down at the water's edge, they're not going to be able to read that number. And then just said now something about the number being in the dunes. I thought the letter also read it had to be like on the seawall or a sign, not in the sand there. So just wanted to ask for clarification
there. Okay, and Darren will clarify for you. Thank you.
Well, it's all properties abutting or adjacent to the Atlantic Ocean need to be the foot high, the numbers.
1 foot high. Okay. Anything else? Was that it?
And
and I'm not sure what the dunes are.
A fixed structure.
Originally.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, and again, originally, though, with the ordinance, we did discuss allowing residents to put a, build a sign and place it on a dune. Yeah. That, Bill, was that not correct?
Well, it was, if I understand it correctly, it was on the dune, but it had to be visible from the ocean.
Correct.
So, like with us, our property is on an angle, mm-hmm. and we're putting it in the center of the buildings, and it's on our property, but it's still part of the dune.
Yeah, to clarify, it needs to be on the private property. It's not
exactly.
like
yes,
in the dunes,
correct.
On the beach somewhere, and I mean, it's not going to stay there, you know, unless it's anchored. So it really needs to be on private property. Ideally, it's on a structure where it's not going to blow away.
Okay. Are there any other questions? Darren, thank you so very much, and to the entire planning department for listening to our residents. Thank you so much. So if there are no other questions, then I'll entertain a motion for approval of this ordinance on first reading.
Bill wants to do that one.
I want to make a motion for approval of proposed ordinance 2024-01, updating code ordinance chapter 18, buildings and building regulations, section 18.4, posting of addresses.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Milano?
Yes.
Councilmember Villanella?
Yes.
Mayor Peritsky?
Yes.
Councilmember White?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Smith?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Okay, we are at 11B, and that is Resolution 2024-04, authorizing a transfer of appropriations from the sidewalk reserve account to the sidewalk expenditure account. Cliff, would you be kind enough to read the resolution 2024-04 by title only?
Yes, Mayor. Resolution 2024-04, read by title only, a resolution of the Town of Ponce Inlet, Florida, authorizing a transfer of appropriations within the town's budget for fiscal year 2023-2024 and providing an effective date.
Thank you very much. Mike?
Chief Scales will handle this one.
Thank you.
Good afternoon again. What you have before you is just what it is. We're trying to move money from the sidewalk fund reserve account into an expenditure account. Public Works has done a great job this year replacing some sidewalks in town. There's still some more work to be done, which was really not anticipated when we were doing the budget last year. We feel it's important that we make those replacements, and we feel it's appropriate to move those funds from the reserve account into the expenditure account. And I do have one update. The memo originally had the fund balance at $76,824. The most recent numbers that we have as of today are actually $90,787. So I just want to make that clarification, and I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Does anyone have any questions?
Quickly, any idea how many sections we're looking at? I mean, I know it's a lot, Dan, and you know, we walked this morning, and our sidewalks are a disaster. I mean, we all know that. But any idea, and will the $8,000 actually cover it?
It covers, obviously not enough, but based on the worst sidewalks that Public Works has assessed and what we can get done in that amount of time, we feel that that will cover that. There's still more work to be done, and I know Fred and his staff are in the process of putting together a priority list of sidewalks that we need to address. So we understand that.
And this is something we're actually doing out of our Public Works Department, correct?
Yeah, Okay. They would hire someone to do that, but yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. We'd hire someone to do it.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you, Dan. No other questions here. Does anyone in the public have any questions?